See you all here today. Kind of our last long weekend before summer is over. For you kids, I'm sorry, you got to go back to school on Tuesday. I am glad I'm not there anymore. But today we're going to talk about passion and how to keep our passion for Jesus going strong. There's a certain passion we seem to have about Jesus, and at times we can be more passionate than others. Why is this? Was Jesus always passionate? How come at this point, being saved for many years, it feels like some days I can have less passion than when I was first saved? That's what some people ask me. What can I do to change that? Well, I'm glad you asked. When I was a kid, one of my absolute favorite things to do was to just ride my bike. I would ride my bike everywhere, and I'd ride it all day. I rode so much that eventually I learned how to ride with no hands, but for an indefinite period of time. I could steer my bike with no hands just by leaning my body a certain way, right at the proper speed. I was passionate about this. It became a point of pride for me because none of my friends could manage to do this. But there was a certain feeling of freedom that just came with riding with no hands. If any of you guys ever did that when you were a kid, you could probably relate. One day, I was just out riding around my block for something to do when I took my hands off the handlebars of my single-gear BMX. And for some reason, that feeling of freedom was much greater than it had been before. Now, sometimes boys can do pretty dumb things, especially when they're younger. We don't really consider the consequences at times. And so in that middle of that freedom, I stuck my arms out and I closed my eyes. I never felt better. And I was riding pretty quick because, you know, those single gear BMXs only got one speed. And I was riding, wind was in my hair. I just ignored my mom when she said, put a helmet on. And I was just loving life. And all of a sudden, bam! I ran right into the tailgate of a parked pickup truck. I hit the ground and cut my leg on the trailer hitch on my way down. And all of a sudden, that passion was gone, replaced by physical stinging pain. But what was worse was the overwhelming embarrassment of wondering, can anybody see me? Why would I even try such a thing? And I got up and my wheel was bent and I didn't even look at the truck. I just got out of there. But my passion for riding my bike in that way disappeared immediately. Now, passion is something we all have. At times, it's stronger than others. And sometimes we feel like we have no passion at all. So how do we keep that passion going strong? I know for many of us, our passion can be at a high point after certain experiences. Maybe this summer you went to camp, maybe you went to primetimers camp, or to family camp, or to youth camp, or to kids camp, and you got filled up with the Holy Spirit, and you just knew that you were going to do great things for God, but somewhere along the line, you got distracted. It's been a few months, maybe only a few weeks, and you already feel like that passion for God, that passion for ministry, that passion for evangelism to your friends, your coworkers, and your neighbors is now either gone or disappearing. How do we keep that passion alive? With fall just around the corner, kids are going back to school, holidays are pretty much over until Thanksgiving. So what do we do to keep us passionate? Well, this morning I'm going to talk about keeping the passion in our Christian walks. First off, how do we experience that passion in the first place? Well, for many of us, we're spending time in the presence of God, being filled with His Holy Spirit. So the best place to start is to keep doing that, right? Well, I could end there, really. But I want to equip you and give you some tools to stay in that mode of being mindful of the Holy Spirit every day. So here are Pastor Jamin's four things to keep the passion alive. Number one, the Word. Oh, I don't know, my clicker's working. All right, you're going to have to advance me manually, whoever's back there. the Word. The Word of God is the Bible, but it's also the Son. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12-13, it says, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Now, the images the author employs in this passage are effective ones. Like a sharp sword, which can lay open the human body with one slashing blow, so the sword of the Scripture can open our inner life and expose it to ourselves and to others. Once the ugly thoughts and hidden rebellions are out in the open, we stand like criminals before a judge, ineffectually trying to explain what we've done. Yet such honest revelation is just what we need to humble our stubborn pride and to render us willing to look to God for forgiveness, willing to get His grace. At this point, God can work in us. When we're impacted by the Word and we can see how we don't measure up to His glorious standard, He can begin to remold us. Sometimes He needs to do this over and over again. Reading the Word is so important for Christian life. Without reading the Word of God, we can't really know what He's trying to say to us. People ask me all the time, how can I get God to speak to me more? Well, the first question I always ask back is this: how much time have you spent reading the Word? Because He's spoken to us in His Word. It's like when you don't read the instruction manual to building a bookshelf. You might not even know you made a mistake when you're done. It might look okay, but maybe you forgot a couple screws here and there. But once it's under load, if it wasn't done right, it might all crash down and make a huge mess. You should have read that instruction manual. Sometimes people want to hear from God, but they don't know the Word. And I believe God can speak to us at any point or position in our lives, but I think that if you want to get to know God's voice, hear it, discern it, and learn it, you have to start with the Bible. You got to walk before you can run. And I think that most of the time, God won't even speak to us audibly until we know what He said to us in His Scripture. Next slide. 2 Timothy 3:14-17 tells us, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In this we know that God wants us to know His Word. He equips us through it. It makes us wise. Therefore, we shouldn't try to skip that step. As we live the verse out, the Word will give us a passion to act and live for Him. It's hard. I find it difficult to spend time in the Word, spend time knowing what God is saying to us, and not receive passion. It's hard for me to not hear the words of God and not get passion. Every time I spend time in the Word, I feel like I'm filled up and ready to take on the day. The Word grows our passion as we hear the words that God is speaking to us through what is written in Scripture. Now, the second tool for building passion is prayer. Next slide. Prayer is how we communicate with God. We all know that you can't have a good relationship without communication. It's the foundation of any relationship. Now, I'd heard a pastor recently say that if he went home from work and saw his wife and just nodded and then went off and did his thing, watched TV, whatever, then came to the dinner table and gives his wife another nod, eats the food and leaves and continues to be by himself without really acknowledging her presence or thanking her for cooking the meal, then that relationship would feel strained and distant, wouldn't it? To have a healthy marriage, communication is key. When you go home, you ask your wife, oh, how was your day? You say, thanks for the meal. You have a you communicate. You have a real relationship. It's not just like a roommate. It's your spouse. And it's the same with God. Sometimes we pray at dinner for 10 seconds for a meal. That's a nod. At bedtime, we say our prayers for maybe another 30 seconds. That's a nod. But God desires real, intimate relationship with each and every one of you. And I hope all the married people here at least ask their spouse how their day went, and then you listen. God wants to speak to you. And he wants you to speak to him. He wants you to listen to what he has to say. When you pray, add some time to just listen to what God would speak. Let him influence you. Just sit in his presence and know that he's there. You can't be passionate about God if you're not communicating with him. Sometimes we don't really know how to pray, but that's okay. Let that I don't know of your situation prompt your prayer. Countless times a week, I face a situation, I'm admitting this to you guys, I face a situation where I don't have all the information or the resources or time or even authority sometimes to finish what needs to be done. And never has that been more evident to me than this year for many reasons. There's been a few instances where I just simply don't know what to do, but our Father does. More and more, I'm choosing to allow the I don't know scenario become a prompt for me to pray. In Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat faced a vast Edomite army poised to attack Judah and Jerusalem. And his response as a leader here is very good. He says, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Then they all waited there before the Lord. They didn't know what to do, but their eyes were on him. Could that be our heart cry as we face situations that cause us trouble? Could we simply allow that helpless feeling to drive us to the one with the answers? When we cultivate a passion for prayer, our I don't knows mean my eyes are on you. And then when we do know, we can say thank you, Lord, and give him praise. The incredible news is that just as King Jehoshaphat received the help he needed, we can as well. Becoming a person of prayer and developing a passion to pray begins when we cultivate and nurture prayer in our lives. We can trust that a heart that seeks the Lord will be fanned into faint flame by the Holy Spirit. Small grooves and prayer prompts help direct our hearts into patterns that can change the course of our lives and our ministries. And passion for prayer will prompt greater passion for God. As that passion for prayer and spending time communicating grows, it will flow into a passion for service as we get to know his heart deeper. There's few times that God speaks to me and he doesn't tell me to serve in some way. Next slide. Service. Serving in your church body or serving your community for Christ is another great way to maintain continued passion for God. Serving others is something Jesus calls us to do again and again throughout the gospel. In 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11, we read, as each received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ, Jesus Christ, to bring glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To me, these two verses sum up very nicely the complete New Testament teaching on ministry. Using your gifts to serve wherever possible. To use your gifts to see a need and to meet that need. so that Jesus Christ, our King, will be glorified. Glorifying God in your church, in your community, in your family means serving and putting the needs of others ahead of your own. Serving in the church sometimes sounds scary. People often think about being an usher or being a worship team member or on the prayer team or other methods of serving that require interacting with people or talking, and that can scare them. But there's way more to serving than just that. If you want to serve in the church, the first question to ask yourself is, what are my giftings? What am I good at? You can use anything you're good at to serve. Maybe your attention to detail is really keen and you're good at cleaning up and noticing small details. You could help in that area. Or maybe your hidden gift is having a sharp ear. Or maybe you could learn to mix the soundboard. You could serve there. Or maybe you're great with kids. You could serve there as well. Wherever your giftings lie, there's a place where they fit into the church, and you can use them to serve. But you can also serve in your community. Maybe those things aren't something you're super interested in, but maybe you were or still are a killer hockey player. You could coach a team. Set an example by being the first coach many of those kids have ever had who doesn't cuss them out on a regular basis. Show them what is quite possibly the first godly example many of them have ever seen. Or host a barbecue for some of your neighbors. This one can be tough, but if your gift is hospitality and you're looking for a way to use it, fire up the grill and get some burgers going. Because nothing gets the community together like eating fattening food, hey? In your family, you can serve in your family too. Hey kids, this one's for you. Help mom and dad out with the dishes. Share your toys with your brothers and sisters. Adults, wake up early and make coffee for the family. Do something to show that you care for them. Cook, clean, whatever it is, help out. And do it because Christ first cared for us. There's lots to do in the family, and sometimes we neglect them, don't we? Sometimes our jobs get in the way, we put other things first. But I think in God's plan, it goes Jesus and family and everything else. Serving people can continue our passion for God. And through it, we can put our passion to work and it can feed itself. But in all things, make sure that God is glorified or you can run dry. But sometimes in serving, we can run dry if we forget to do that. And we become a little burnt out if we stop doing it as an act of worship as well. This brings me to my last one here. And one of the best ways to keep the passion for Jesus alive is to be active in worship. And I don't just mean corporate worship in a church setting, but like prayer and service, we can worship anywhere in many different ways. But for me, I don't know about you, but for me, there's just something powerful in getting together with your church family and singing and lifting up the name of Jesus and worshiping our King. When we glorify God with our mouths, he's lifted up and our spirits soar with him. In 1 Chronicles, we read, "Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nation. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and joy fill his dwelling." Next slide. "O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let the earth tremble before him. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Tell all the nations the Lord reigns." Now I chose this verse because it does two things. It tells us how to worship, but in doing so, it also worships him. It does two things. And I don't know about you, but even in just reading that passage now, I feel lifted up in my spirit how great it is to worship him. As we glorify God, his majesty is manifested with us, and we can feel it. His spirit fills us, and we're given passion for him. As we worship together as a body, we're given passion for one another, for service, for our families. But we can also worship in private. Some of my most intimate moments with God have been when I've been by myself, worshiping him, praying. Something I like to do is go off in a secret place, have music on, and just sit in the presence of God, focusing on him and letting him speak, guide, and change me. And some people call this meditation, which I think is fair, but I want you to know that there's a big difference between Christian meditation and other kinds of meditation. When the world meditates, whether they're Buddhists or atheists or just at a yoga class or whatever, they just empty their minds and focus on nothing. But when a Christian meditates, we focus in on Jesus and we fill our minds with the things of the Father. We fill our minds with the things that Christ has done for us. In that way, we are worshiping him. Worshiping on your own is a great way to be built up in passion for Jesus. Our summer is ending. It's already September. Vacations are over, and I don't know about you, but I'm going to need God to help me get through every day. Passion for his name is my motivation, and it can be yours as well. Passion for the will of God is something that every believer needs. And as we wind up this summer in the sun, remember all you've learned about him. And don't let the passion die out. Put in the work and see your life continually transformed by his love, his mercy, and his grace. I invite the worship team to come back up now. Be filled with passion as you spend time reading the Word of God. Let his truths fill your heart and change you. Let it expose your innermost parts of you and become on fire for knowing God deeper and knowing his Word and his voice. Be filled with passion as you pray, focusing your hearts on him and his glory, spending time listening to what he wants to teach you. Let his response be your goal. Have a deep, intimate relationship with your Creator and pray for everything you need. Be filled with passion as you serve. Serve God in any area you can with a joyful heart and show his love to those around you by any means necessary. Be Christ in your neighborhood, in your church, and in your family. Serve to the best of your ability and make sure it always points back to Christ. Be filled with passion as you worship. Tell Jesus how much you love him. Spend time soaking in the Holy Spirit, filling your mind with the things of the Father and experiencing the glory of the King who is sitting on the throne in heaven. Our God is worthy to be praised, and praising him will lift you up as well. And make sure your passion for God can't die because it's being fed through practice. Our passion dies when we stop acting and doing these things. Practicing these things will help us get our minds focused in and tune our hearts to the one who is the author of our salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but it's passion for God and nothing else that I want to consume me. Please pray with me now. Holy Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your will. We thank you for your passion. That God, that you were so passionate about us that you sent your son to die on the cross, that we might be able to live with you forever in glory. Lord, we pray that we be filled with that passion in response, that we would not let desire to know you more die. But God, we continue that attitude of being in your presence, being in your spirit, no matter where we are, whether we're at work, with our families, just walking down the street, Lord, that we would just be constantly consumed by a passion for your name, for a passion for knowing you deeper. We thank you, Father, and we commit ourselves to you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.